This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Good afternoon. Oh. I want to thank you for, this thing's already fallen off, to choose to attend this session. I want you to know that I'm going to tread softly here, because this could be a sensitive subject. How many of you have spent time in Asia? Raise your hands high. I want to see you. Okay, wonderful. God bless you. How many of you would like to spend more time or go as first time in Asia? Okay, I got a good group here. I think I'm going to be okay. Okay. What can Asian Christians teach us? Notice I'm saying us, as conservative Anabaptists. I have spent, as our Nathan said, the last 8.5 years working with Asian Christians. And it's more times than not, as I work with them, I am challenged by their faith. Now, is there anywhere in the Bible that it tells us that we should do something like this? Compare the two. Probably not, but I want you to think about Psalms 48. Psalms 48 is a psalm of written for the children of Korah, the sons of Korah. Now, I think most of us are familiar with the account in Numbers where, I think it's Numbers 12, you know what, I better look at that, where there was Korah led a rebellion against the Moses. Yes, it's in Numbers 16, I'm sorry. Korah, the sons of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and on. That's in Numbers chapter 16, verse 1. Most people forget this little man On completely, but there's four men in there. The son of Peleth of Reuben, they took men and they rose up against Moses. Now, there are many, and we know the end of that rebellion, how that the earth opened up and they were swallowed up. It's the only time anywhere in the scripture that men went alive into the pit because of rebellion. And I'm not talking to a rebellious people. But it tells us in Numbers chapter 16 that Dathan and Abiram, they're all their children perished. But it tells us in Numbers chapter 26, verse 10. I'm getting my references mixed up. I'm sorry about that. And verse 9, it says, and the sons of Eliab, Nemuel, Dathan and Abiram, that is called Dathan and Abiram, which were famous in the congregation who strove against Moses and against Aaron in the company of Korah when they strove against the Lord. Verse 10, it goes, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah, that company died. What time the fire devoured 250 men and they became a sign. But verse 11, notwithstanding or but the children of Korah died not. Now that's a very interesting phrase. Then you will find in the Psalms, there is a total of 7 different Psalms. And Psalm 48 is one of them. Are written for the children of Korah. I don't know if the sons of Korah wrote this or if they're written for the sons of Korah. I'm not sure. But nevertheless, they're beautiful psalms. Psalm 45 is what we call the bridal psalm of Jesus Christ. But this Psalm 48 that I have chosen, and not just think about what the sons of Korah seen. Somehow they were spared. I suggest to you that they, in the nighttime, they said, Papa, this thing isn't going to come out right. We repent of this rebellion. Lord, spare us. And they seen awesome things as the earth opened and swallowed up Korah, Dathan and his children, Abiram and his family and children, but the sons of Korah were spared. And sometime I encourage you to study the beautiful Psalms that were written for the sons of Korah. So what was the role of the sons of Korah? They were Levites. They were put there to encircle the tents of the people. The Levites were human insulation to protect the priests and the holy things from unclean contamination, from without protecting the people in the camp from anything that would contaminate. So they were spared. Well, here in Psalm 48, now let us read this psalm. And this is my key verse in preparation for what I'm going to talk about. Now, just think about what they had seen and the beautiful psalms that are written about God and the church, the people of God. And I'm just going to drop in, just as I have up there. Let's drop in at verse 11. Let Mount Zion rejoice because God is their God. I'm adding emphasis. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments, thy blessing, thy protection. Emphasis added. Walk about Zion. Zion is the people of God. Zion is the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ that Christ purchased with his own blood in New Testament theology. Walk about Zion. Rejoice. Let Mount Zion rejoice, the daughters of Judah. Then verse 12, walk about Zion. Go round about her and tell the towers thereof. Or tell others about the strength of Zion. Tell others about the blessing of the church. Tell others about the good things of Zion, the daughters of Judah and the church of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm going to do this afternoon. Because I've had the privilege and the joy to walk about Zion for the last 8.5 years all across the world. And I'm going to tell you of some of her strengths, some of the strengths of the Asian Christians, the blessings of the Asian Christians. Walk about Zion and round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Tell others about the strength of the towers. Towers speak of the fortress and the strength of the church of Jesus Christ, if you would. The daughter, and it says, then it goes on, mark ye well her bulwarks, her strengths, those blessed points. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell the next generation of the strengths of the Asian Christians. So this is a commandment from Scripture. Is that okay? Yes, tell of the strengths of the generation following, for this God is now our God forever and ever. He is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will be our guide even unto death. Hallelujah. So I turned here, walk about Zion, go around about her, and tell the towers thereof. And that's exactly what I do, just like the picture shows. I get to travel to many places you will perhaps never go. And I see her strengths. I see her marks and her such forth. Yes, and sometimes we fly. Other times we walk. But walk about Zion and tell the towers thereof. When I am with you people, or my people here in America, let me go the other way around. When I am teaching an MTM conference, I'm teaching biblical truth that makes us, our faith and practice as conservative Anabaptists. I'm teaching what we've had for many years, perhaps 15 generations or more. That's what I'm teaching when I'm teaching them. On the other hand, when I am in America with you, then I find myself most always challenging our conservative Anabaptist people about the Asian Christians, who they are, and what we can learn from them. And that's what I'm going to be doing. What can Asian Christians teach conservative Anabaptists? I'm going to divide this in four categories. See how much time we have here and how far we get along. First of all, commitment, then love for the Word of God, worship, and prayer, and sacrifice for missions. Those are the four categories. Let's start with a man by the name of Siraj. And I'm just going to tell you stories, because I don't know how else to do it. But Siraj came to one of our three-week Bible schools in Odisha, state of India. You can see right where it is here. Suraj was recently converted. He recently came to Jesus Christ. He laid it all on the altar and surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And he was at our Bible school. And I sat down and I listened to his story. He's not a young man, as you can see. That's a picture of him. Here's his story. Before he came to Jesus Christ, he was a Hindu priest. And he knew, before he made his commitment to Christ, that this is going to cost him everything. This is how it is with Asian Christians on the most part. It costs them everything. When they choose to follow Christ, they know they're going to die. Some of them die literally, not all. He did not die literally. But I had to think of the verse in John, in the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus said, If you want to be my disciple, if any man will come to me, he needs to love less his, this thing's falling off and we'll just let it fall. He needs to love less. I'm in Luke chapter 14, verse 26. And if any man come to me, love less his father, his mother. It says hate and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life. He cannot be my disciple. This is literal to them. Commitment. They know it's going to cost them everything. And still, they choose to follow Christ. I hear their stories all the time. Their commitments challenge me over and over again. They're willing to lay down their lives for the joy and the blessing of knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. So it was with Suraj. He chose to follow Christ, and his commitment to Christ cost him everything. I hear stories like this all the time, and it challenges me, my brother, my sister. We can learn a lot from them on commitment. Still, they make the choice. His Hindu family took away his own children, took them away. He said, I don't see them anymore. Wept. Tears in his eyes. They took my children away because his family's all Hindu. He was a Hindu priest aforetime. And they said, we will not have your children grow up Christian. They took them away. Does that challenge me? How about you? Does that challenge you? We can learn a lot from them on commitment. They took away. He lost his family land. He was entitled to some family land. He lost that. He lost his home. They took that away from him. Homeless. It wouldn't have been for the pastor that led him to Christ. He would have been homeless. He took him in. Commitment. He lost his thriving, successful business. And he knew this was going to happen. He knew they would reject him. He knew they would ostracize him. Still, he chose to follow Christ. And these kinds of examples repeat themselves over and over again. He lost everything to follow Christ. Then he comes to our Bible school, the MTM, 3-week Bible school. There he is. He's up here on the end. He studies the scriptures. He has no knowledge, very little to no knowledge of the scripture. He said, I want to know the scriptures. I want to be prepared so I can take the gospel. You know, these men, they lay down their lives. They sacrifice all to follow Christ. And they become immediate evangelists. Immediately, they want to reach back and reach their own family. Why did he come to the Bible school? He wanted to study the Word of God for 3 weeks at one of our Bible schools, so he can share the gospel with his lost family. Now he's an evangelist. Now that challenges me too. He's not just going to pull back from those that have ostracized him, but he is going to go after them with the gospel and share the gospel with them. That was Suraj. Love for the Word of God. That's another one I want to talk about. If you've seen that first picture, you've seen those people sitting on the floor. They're not sitting in plush chairs like you're sitting in, nice and plush and comfortable. They're sitting on the floor. What for? To watch a sports game or something? To hear the Word of God. They will sit Asian style with their legs folded
up to 7 hours a day. What for? To hear the word of God. They make sacrifice to hear the word of God. And they're hearing things that we have had among us and our teaching in our churches for perhaps 15 generations. And they're saying, we have never heard teaching like this. They're hungry and thirsting after righteousness. They'll sit for hours. What does it say? If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, ye shall be what? Filled. And I tell you what, they're oftentimes filled with the power of the Spirit of God to do His work. They are hungry for the Word of God. There's in that sense, they're young and old. This guy was in, this was actually in Myanmar. The guy was like 90 some years old at one of our conferences to hear the Word of God. Look at his thick glasses. He's saying, this is all new teaching. I've never heard this kind of teaching. Hunger and love for the Word of God. There you can see him sitting. This was just back in February in Bolani village. For hours they will sit just like that, cross-legged. Their notes, hunger and love for the Word of God, to hear the Word of God. Too many times, my dear people, we are fat and full with many good teaching and many good preaching, and we haven't put to practice the sermon we heard 5 years ago yet. I'm getting critical. I don't want to do that. They want to hear the Word of God to learn how to go deeper with Jesus Christ. They love the Lord. They love the Word. They'll walk for hours, some of them. Not all of them. I'm throwing a lot together here. They'll walk for hours. Just to hear the Word of God. They make great sacrifice. Many times they have no vehicles. The vehicles would be useless. We get to go many places. And they come off the mountains to hear the Word of God taught. Challenging. Challenging. Very challenging in their love for the Word of God. Let's move on. Just recently in Bolani village, what they really need is examples to follow. I was teaching on the marriage and the family, and to demonstrate how a husband should lay down his life for his wife. I washed my wife's feet. And after I washed her feet with some confession and acknowledging that I haven't always laid down my life for my wife the way I should have, just being honest. And that's true. And I repented and confessed that to my queen of 45 years this coming weekend. Praise God, amen. And this pastor, he jumps up. He says, Pastor, he's calling his wife. Yeah, they don't call like this. They call like this. Come, honey, come. He said, I want to do that. Was he the one that wept as he, it was another one. It was this one here. Yeah, this one. Before he said, I want to do it too. Before he washed his wife's feet, he just knelt there in front of her and prayed for a good long while, a good long time. Open to the Word of God. Open to learn. Open to receive, especially when there is an example given, an exemplary life. Of faith and practice. And he did that. And then after he had prayed for a good long time, was she in tears over the... She just wept. She just wept there in the presence of her husband. Open to the Word of God. Open to an example of faith and practice that makes a difference. And then they hugged each other and loved each other. This is what they need. Yes, they need the teaching. But they need an example to follow. Many of these pastors in these countries are telling me, Pastor, we have no other example. We have no other example to learn from. So we are getting television in our villages, so we turn our television on, and we see an example of someone like Benny Hinn. And we have no other example, so we follow that example. How many of you know what Benny Hinn is? Who Benny Hinn is? Many pastors are telling me, we have no other place to get an example to follow. What an opportunity is ours to get into their midst and teaching and give an example of a faith and practice that obeys the scripture. That's exactly what these brothers were saying. We need an example and we want to follow that example. This repeats itself over and over again. Some of the pastors are saying, where have you been? Where have you been? One pastor told me some years ago, he said, where in the world have you been? I'm letting you digest that. Ouch, that's what he said. People are waiting for an example. Not only the teaching, but an exemplary life. I can't even say the word, right? But you know what I mean, amen? One that gets into the midst and gives an example, even if it is just short term. Oh, how they need that. They're hungry for it. They want it. They take notes. This is in India. That last one was in Nepal. They write down. They even draw pictures. You'll see in a while. Love, they'll sit like that with their Bibles open. They are hungry for truth. Let's go to way up here in what they call the chicken's neck of India. Another example, Nisha is this young. This is a youth. We do quite a bit of youth conferences. So we have commitment and the love for the word. Let's continue on the love for the word. This young lady, the conference was a youth conference, right where the arrow is. This region of India, it's called North Central India. This is Northeast, this is Northwest. We're right up in here, but this young lady, Lady Nisha, there she is. She's Bhutanese. She's an orphan. And a Christian family has taken her in. She is along with her, it's not really her brother, but the family that has taken her in, Chogel, is Josh in here? Oh, he isn't. Okay, well, Josh was along on this one. And so he knows this young man and young lady. But Nisha really challenged me in her commitment and her love for the Lord. And Chogel, he did too. This is a youth conference. We got some young people in here. Can teach us something about the Word of God and love for the Word of God. This is the youth conference that we did. And Nisha's sitting right here. I think she's right here. She's just a youth, maybe about 18. Now, I want you to, you look at that picture and you're not sure what's going on. Let me help you a little bit. It's cold. It's very cold. It's probably about 38 to 40 degrees. Now, what stands out to you if it's that cold? Bare feet. Bare feet. It's cold. Now, yes, they were doing a little cultural action activity. They do it imperfectly, their faith and practice, we might say. But then again, do we have it all figured out and our faith and practice is perfect? No, that's right. That's why I said I want to tread softly. Because they do many things imperfectly, even though they do challenge us in these areas. But then again, so do we. I think we need to understand that. We need to be humble about it. We don't need to have it all figured out either. At least I don't. But it's very cold. And these youth, young people, are sitting for hours on the floor of the church, and it's cold, bare feet. If you're not sure how cold it is, look at that picture. It's very cold. And we are doing a youth conference. I was teaching on the life of David. Nisha, later, she knows some English. So she could take notes in English. So I'm not sure how she learned it, but many of these youth and pastors that attend our conferences know up to 5 to 7 languages. Anybody in here know more than 2? Okay, good for you. Boy, you're ready to go. Let the Father decide where you should go and be used in missions. But they have many languages. But Nisha takes notes. Well, first of all, when the invitation was given to fully surrender, Nisha's right up front here, along with many other youth. They're rededicating and recommitting their lives to the Lord. Responsive to the Word of God. Responding and saying, yes, Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to know you. I want to be used of you. What work do you have me to do? I was teaching on the life of David, and I said, there remain yet many more Goliaths. that God is wanting some young man, woman, boy, or girl to rise up and go after them. Use what's in their hand. Use what's in their hand to go after them. David had some stones and a sling and a harp in his hand, and God used what he had. And they're responding here. Yes, Lord, I surrender all. Love for the word and commitment. Here's her notes. You take a good look at that. Now, she was gifted. This is how she took notes of the teaching. She literally drew pictures, a love for the word. She said, she came to me, she said, Pastor, I don't want to forget anything. I want it all. I want to check my commitments and I want to walk with the Lord. I want to know and be all that God wants me to be in Jesus Christ. So he can use me to go after a few giants that remain in this part of the world. Look at those notes. Now you can see a little bit what was taught, but so I'm not going to let you look at it too long. Very detailed. Here's another picture, how she took notes. And I'm sure many of you take notes like that too, so you don't forget. Love for the word. Don't want to miss anything, so they can be all that God wants them to be used in reaching their own people for Christ. Yes. So we have commitment, love for the word. Let's go to worship and prayer. Many conferences we go to, especially in India, because they're poor, they're very poor. They don't have access to the medical field like you and I do. When there is a sickness or there is a need or the Lord has closed the womb or whatever, they will literally come to the service walking with their anointing oil. You know, in the days of Jesus, Jesus told the disciples to anoint with oil for healing of the sick. They literally walk with their oil in faith and trust, commitment, and worship and prayer. And after the service, and many times in the worship service, as they are worshiping, they will just break out into a corporate prayer. How many of you have been in a setting where they did corporate prayer, where they all pray at once? It's very inspiring. You know, we sing the songs of prayer all singing at the same time, and that's good. And it's okay to pray individually and silently and quietly. I wonder what it would sound like if we'd all pray at one time up there in the auditorium. That would be a hallelujah moment. Yeah. And they don't just pray with a little whisper. Is he praying or isn't he praying? Sure. No, it's not at all that way. They raise their voice and they cry out to God. They have no other place to turn. They're poor. They don't have money. They don't have medical resources at their convenience. So they come to the Lord in worship and prayer. Lord, we have a need. Many times as they are in the just right in the middle of the service, they sing a song and they're so moved, they just break into prayer. It's not where somebody says, now you pray, you start now, close. Nix cum ras. Nothing like that. Some of you understood that. Oh, that wasn't Nepali either. They just break into prayer. They're so moved in their spirit and heart in their worship. It's so deep. They just break into prayer. And they all pray at one time. Many times after the service, they'll come, they'll say, This is a health issue. Maybe it's for a relative, but maybe it's for me. Please, I want prayer. I need anointing. Many times in many places we go, not everywhere, there is times where the anointing service lasts up to an hour and a half after the church service, after the teaching service. You're so exhausted by the time it's so much virtue goes out of you. By the time you get to finally when is the end coming? They want prayer. They have such faith in trusting the Lord. It's really challenging to me. And I'll admit to you, sometimes I get so weary, I say, can I just go home? I need to get my teaching all day long, and then you have an evening service, and then you have all this prayer and anointing that goes on. That's Phil Beiler. He has one of the anointing oils. This sister came for anointing. Prayer for sick. I don't know what it was. One of the great joys of my heart has been their prayer of faith heals the sick, opens the womb. I'm not sure why, but many times couples come, married for 5 years. We want a family. We want children, but the womb is closed. Would you please pray for us? Would you anoint with oil? And what a joy and a blessing to take their little oil and anoint them in Jesus' name, and the prayer of faith would heal them and open the womb according to his will, and then come back a year later. Oh, I tell you, I wouldn't trade it for $1 million. Pastor, do you remember? I probably won't remember. Here's the baby. You know what I tell them when they ask me to anoint with oil and for healing that the Lord would open the womb? I tell them, how much faith do you have? We believe. Amen. Well, you show the Lord that you believe. You go home and you get the baby room ready. Now, they don't have baby rooms like we do. You can't even say a crib, but they don't even have one of those. I say, wherever you're going to put the newborn baby, put a blanket down. Maybe put some what we call diapers down. You show the Lord that you believe by faith that he will open the womb. And you make preparation. You show the Lord that. Amen. And then they go and do it. A year later, I come back and they say, thank you for challenging us on our faith. The Lord has blessed, and here's the baby. Yeah, what an exciting work that God has allowed us to be part of as we go about Zion, march about Zion. And I feel privileged to tell you about these things and challenging you and I in our faith and trust for the Lord, love for the word, and commitment. Yes, but many times in their worship, the prayer, the after service, the anointing, the prayer, you will see this. I don't know if you can see it up there, but do you see what's going down that man's face? He's crying. This is totally normal. Totally normal. In the middle of the service, tears begin to flow. I have seen it many times. Their love for the Lord, it breaks their heart and how they have failed or sinned or whatever in the teaching. I have seen many times, brothers and sisters, puddles of tears as they sit on the floor. When's the last time you cried before the Lord? When's the last time I cried before the Lord in failure and in shortcomings? You see, they are coming from Hindu and Buddhist backgrounds. They are such a love for the Lord. They weep. That's Bappy. I've seen him weep numerous times before the Lord as he was hearing a message or God moved. Tears just begin to flow. I don't know what that does to you, but that challenges me. Does it challenge you? They can teach us so much. You see, their community of believers is very small. It's not like you, like we. How many are here today, a community of believers here at FB Reach? I don't even know. It's got to be approaching 2,000. Anybody know? They know.
It's around 1,800.
They know nothing of that. They're few. They're a major minority. And they're so thrilled and so excited and so blessed just to be with other believers, to draw from each other, to encourage one another. That alone brings tears to their eyes. And when they walk into a church, they don't come in and sit down like you did. No, they will go and find their place. They go up and they find their place and they sit down like this. And the first thing they do is they bow their head. And sometimes tears will come and they pray, thanking the Lord. Lord, thank you for the safe journey here. The trail was rugged. There was dangers. But I'm here. Thank you for a safe journey. Lord, I want to know you. I want to worship you. And they pray for a good long time before they're ready to enter in to the worship with their fellow believers. And they don't rush out after it's all over. They interact with, encourage one another, pray one another. I'm giving you many things sort of compressed, and it's not always this way, but I'm giving you things that I have seen many times. Thank you, brother. I've seen it. All right. Sacrifice for missions. Let me tell you real quickly about Benjamin. Benjamin is from Mumbai, India, the slums of Mumbai. His father died young. He literally burned himself out to death in reaching his people for Christ. Now his son, Benjamin, and his family is continuing the work. Benjamin is 41 years old. He's a young man. And this man has planted 40 churches. 40 years old and he's planted 40 churches. Wow. Amongst the slums of the state of Maharashtra, India, this region right here. Very poor. When I went there to do a conference, I said, we need something in this slum church to present with a projector. And he said, oh, here's some people we know. There's Jesse, your brother. Amen. Amen. Do you have anything to put a that we could put up like a white bed sheet? I said, he don't know. He said, I'll look. Finally, he came with his wife's white wedding sari. That's an Indian garment. That was his wife's wedding gown. So little. They do so little with so much. And Lazar, introductory brother, said, we often do so, they do so much with so little, I'm saying it backwards, and we so often do so little. Now let me get it right. We often do so little with so much. And they do so much, so little. 40 churches, 41-year-old man. I got to work with him in some of them. These are the slums of Mumbai. There it is. What a challenge. They, because of the way, what they come out of, they become church planters, evangelists. Most all of them do. There was the pastors, all the leaders that he brought together, that we had the privilege, challenged by their commitments, planting churches all over that state of India, this team of leaders. This was in Nepal. And James, you can help me with this. I see you sitting there where we were. This man here was the first man that brought the gospel to that village. He's 84 years, and this one's 84 years old. He was just 4 years ago. These Christians are reaching out in planting churches and evangelizing. This was a witch doctor. He had only come to Christ a few years ago. He's attending the church service. This just gives you an idea of their passion for lost souls in evangelizing. They get out of their comfort zone. They go after a witch doctor. And they come to Christ. These stories, every one of them could be, they repeat themselves over and over again. How many minutes do I have yet? 6 minutes. Thank you, brother. This is some of their conditions. They're subsistence farmers. Again, they do so much with so little. That's how they farm. To live. Let me tell you about Isaac. Isaac is from Myanmar. Isaac really challenged me. We worked with him many, many times in conference. He said, I want a deeper study. I want a 3-week Bible school. I said, Isaac, I'm not sure if I can get men to come for 3 weeks to teach the Word of God. He said, why? Why? Ouch. I said, I don't know how to answer your question. Why are your people have so much? You are have had this faith and practice and this teaching for many generations. He knows who we are. He's come to IGO, to our Asian Bible school, many times. He said, why can't you get men to come and help you with the teaching? I said, I don't know how to answer that. And I didn't have an answer for him. Maybe you can answer. How many are ready to go and help me? Okay, I got one hand. I got a sister. Where's the men? Okay, thank you. I know there's many of you and some of you will. I have a continual need for teachers. We are planning a 3-week Bible school with Isaac in Magina, northern Myanmar, in September of this year. Now, I said all that, and I need to tell you how my teachers are ready. Praise God. Amen. So there are many that are willing. But I always need teachers to go with me, to be challenged, stretched out of your comfort zone. Yes, and we're grateful for all of you that have gone and are going. Yes, there we are discussing and making plans. Rosa King and Melanie Beachy were along. Boop. Okay, let me tell you about Gesup. Gesup is in far western Nepal, right there. He works amongst the remote of the remote region. And we're talking about sacrifice for missions. He walks the trail with Jesus, taking the gospel to villages where there's not even a proper road there. There he goes. He packs his backpack and he goes places where the gospel has never been preached. Places, that's what the region looks like. Just give you a few pictures here. There you can see even a motorcycle on the most part is useless, although he does have a motorcycle just of recently. Going to villages where the gospel has never been preached. It's very remote regions. This is just one example. Again, these examples repeat themselves in missions and evangelism and sacrifice for missions. There he is praying for a Hindu lady. But what excites me about Gesup, he's attended many MTM conferences, and now he is going out and teaching all that he has learned, just like Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things thou hast heard of me, Paul tells Timothy, and Paul had mentored Timothy, now MTM has mentored Gesup. Those things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Not only are they taking the gospel, they're making disciples. They're teaching men, other men, the things they have learned in their walk with the Lord Jesus and what they have learned as others have taught them. Gesup is leading a pastor's training right there. He does this frequently. In fact, he called us back up there in April of 2016. He said, Pastor Raymond, come and help me. And we together did a conference with the leaders that he's raising up and emerging leaders. That was the whole group. And he only wanted leaders, but there was such a hunger. They came to hear the word of God. This kind of testimony repeats itself over and over again. So we had commitment, love for the word, worship, and prayer and sacrifice for missions. My time is up. Am I right? Any questions? 2 minutes. Any questions? Let me ask this. How many were challenged? Amen. That's my life. I'm challenged by their faith and commitment over and over again. Any questions? James. Yes, in Bolani Village. Yes. Yes, a 40-day time of prayer and fasting. It was not only prayer. They sacrificed their lunch. Every day then we were there, James, right? They were sitting in a circle. And they would pray and fast for the salvation of souls, which is primarily Hindu in Nepal. Thank you for that. That's very good. Did that challenge us? It sure did. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for my dear Asian brothers and sisters. They have challenged us here today. And these were just a few points. Lord, I pray that we can, yes, we have much to offer them in a faith and practice that obeys the scripture. And we thank you for the privilege and opportunity to get into their midst and give them an example of this from the Word of God, teaching them. But we thank you for the way they challenge us in their doing so much for you with so little. May we be challenged by that and do even more for you in taking the gospel to a lost and dying world. Thank you for my dear brothers, whether they're in Nepal, in India, Burma, Myanmar, many places, Lord. I thank you for them, and I ask your blessing upon them even now. Prosper them, fill them with your spirit, use them mightily to take the gospel to their own people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your attention and your attendance. Appreciated it very much.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.